Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?
Arms out to your mum's house. 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 Arms out to your mum's house.
I heard the ice clinking in the glass. And I was like,
oh yeah.
I know it's a hot look.
See, we're like, damn.
And I added a bit more whiskey. And my missus has looked at me like,
yeah. I tell you what, Damo, though, as well, if there's any possibility you could move your laptop a bit further away from you so your head isn't chopped off. I mean, there
it's because I'm trying to pretend I've got hair. Like, look, hair. No hair.
Yeah, there you can't see. Yeah, and there you can see. Yeah. Gives the game.
Bald. It's like, bald. I mean, we're going to see. He's all right. Bald. Yeah, anyway, stop that. I'll stop that. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I'm not trying to pull. I'm in fact married. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
Yeah.
We'll get
girls
into all
are slipping
this
off their chairs, though, bruv.
No. So you guys have to let me know when this is being recorded, when this is liable to become part of something that will be published. Is that from Wednesday? Now? Since Wednesday.
We are recording now.
You're
as
recording
we speak.
Recording now. Is anything I say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll be held against you, yes.
Okay. Just one disclaimer. Now, Damo, you edit it, don't you, Maddie?
Don't worry, this isn't live. I'll edit it before Wednesday. It will come out this Wednesday at 8 p.m. Okay.
Oh, wow, so that's exciting. I'll get the family. You know that. I'll get a projector.
Gather around to watch the Arms House to Your Mum's House podcast. Episode
94.
Coming to you live.
94.
Live. Yo, you guys won't see this, but when I edit this, I've got a slightly different way of displaying the podcast now, because there's three people here, as people can see, who are watching on the YouTube. The people listening won't matter to them. But yo, we have a special guest joining us today. My main man, Damien Platt. Damer, aka Damer.
Damer.
Aka Damo.
Damo, mate. D Platt in the fucking building.
All right,
mate. No, so I mean, man, we're gonna go through all sorts today, man. We might even get some graph critique as well. I haven't talked to you about that, Damo, but you know, we'll explain it if we get time to get round to it.
Okay, dokes.
But let me explain briefly to the people why I wanted you to come on. One, because, you know, I met you out in Brazil and you're just a diamond geezer, really good, cool motherfucker. But also, you released a book not too long ago. When did it come out? How long ago was it?
June, just now.
Ah, okay. June, a few 7th. Months ago.
Yeah.
Yes. And this book is...
Oh, shit, this year. Okay.
Yeah, this year, yeah.
I Dream
yeah.
of Graffiti.
Yes.
I Dream of Graph.
I Dream of Graph.
Yeah. Meme, have you got it? Theme, have you got the book in front of you? Can you hold it up
for
the people to see, please?
I've got one too if you need it. It's here.
Yeah, all good. I gave Theme my copy so he could have a read through. As you can see, there's the big elk. These are all photos that Damien took himself throughout the years. We'll get into all that, why and how and all that stuff. There's plenty of graph history in there. Lots of cool, like...
this throw up, Snow's throw up, bruv. Do you remember that was everywhere?
Snow, man. Snow, yeah.
Snow is a bad
Labrador Grove.
He's still out doing his thing, right? Snow?
No, I think it's probably another Snow from
There's
what
another
I know.
Snow.
What I could guess. Yeah.
But he
in an aside, Snow used to write inner, I-N-E-R, and he was friends with Booze/inmates who you met at Carnival this year. They were very good friends. Yeah, there you are. That's an aside.
Mace is another legendary character here in West London when it comes to graffiti, early graffiti days. He influenced a lot of people. So him and Snow, and they were telling me about, or was you mentioning about that writer? Who was talking? Oh, man, my memory is so terrible. Another dude who used to write with Emace back in the day. Oh man, my memory's shit.
What I know is that the original trio was Inner, Booze, and Mad, and that was Emace, Snow, and Mayo. and they were all friends.
Mayo.
I think nice. I'm correct about that. And there's a Mayo piece in the book, and they were all like West London lads, you know, proper. But Snow, especially Ladbroke Grove kid, live around the corner from me. Yeah.
Sick. Right, so you were from Grove. When were you doing Graf?
I had a short and undistinguished Graf career in about from 88 to early 91.
88 to 91.
And can I just say quickly,
some sensational years. Some of the yeah. photos were, are fucking yeah, ridiculous.
They were good years to be about, really.
Yeah, man, that's the foundation of the Graf in that in, around that time. That's the lettering and the styles. That's what me and Maddie came up on. Because you guys are slightly older than us. So we were looking up to that going, yeah, that and for you, me, that's Graf. Yeah.
You grew up in West London as well, David?
I grew up in Ladbroke Grove.
Yeah. Okay, so you were right in the belly of the beast, basically.
Yeah,
right
there. And a big part of it was that I went, grew up in Ladbroke Grove, but I went to school in Hammersmith. So I would get the Little Met every day, probably between 84 and 90, every day, twice a day to school and back. So it just grew up with it around me and reading it. And then I started knowing people who were doing it and then knew people at school who were doing it. And I see their names and. So there were a mix of people I knew and then the legends like Foam and whatever, Hate and Casby and Rail and Grand and blah, 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 who I'd know existed, but I didn't know them personally. But you'd see the stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was exciting. Just exciting. Every day I used to get excited going to school. Yeah. Even before I was even tried it myself, I was always, it was just an exciting time.
And you kind of go into it in the book. Is the book still available, by the way, or is it?
There are about there were five copies left.
Shit.
I only did 100, but there are five copies on the Photo Book Cafe website.
Uh-huh.
What's and it called? Photo Book Cafe, because I need to get one.
Yeah, Photo Book Cafe website.
I'll put the link below, people. So if you want to,
there's only four left, motherfuckers.
I heard you owe Mean a copy as well. I chatted to Mean the other day. I told him you were coming on. He said,
I've got his one reserved. Yeah, okay. Yes,
so you got three left now.
Three left.
Some sick photos in there of old Meanos as well, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Mean plays a role in the book. In fact, there's a role Mean play, which was, he was the link person to really how I ended up in Berlin. Because it wasn't quite through Mean. It was through Snatch that I met Saw Six, who later became Odem, who's in the book. But it was, we went on a mission together, and that was a mission led by Mean.
Oh, wow.
Where was that?
That was Acton Town.
Oh, Acton in London. Okay.
Yes. In Mean's domain.
Yeah. Mean's yard.
I mean, Mean as well. Yeah. On the episode we had with Mean, you should check that out, Damo. It's a funny episode.
I will
episode.
Do, yeah.
And he talked like, and just knowing Mean, what he's like he's just the sociable guy. He's like, he's even a self-professed social butterfly, he says. Yeah, like he's just, you know, jumping around through people. And he was like a connector of people, you know what I mean?
Definitely. Which is a beautiful thing.
I bet, man.
That mission involved, it was 11 people.
Oh shit!
And
tell us about that. I was going to say,
that mission. It was probably April 1990, and I went to meet up with Snatch, who said, "Oh, come and meet this German dude." And we met this German dude who he'd met around the place. Snatch was my school friend, and he wasn't at my school anymore. But anyway, but we went and met up.
If anyone who doesn't know, Snatch is an absolute fucking don.
Oh, mate. The amount of people
at the pinnacle of Graf, kind of ridiculous.
Even Score released a book about Three Corners.
Yeah.
Where he just, it's all Snatch pieces, and the influence from those pieces at that time was incredible. Yeah.
Which were all his ones, like all the burners he did in Three Corners was summer 1989, which was 1989 was this year where all these things came together.
Mm.
And he had a whole load of burners up at Three Corners, and people all over London came through, saw them and took photos, and they were amazing. I think they're some of the best pieces I ever saw, definitely. So anyway, Snatch introduced me to this dude, and he was a big German dude over visiting London. And then Snatch went home, and he was like, this dude had a rendezvous with Mean at Ladbroke Grove Station. I was like, oh, that's where I live. And so we went, me and this dude got the train to Ladbroke Grove, and I called up my friend Cal, who lived in Ladbroke Grove as well, and he came to meet us at the station. And we were all at the station, and me was sitting on the bench, and he was like, "We're going yards, You come in." And I was like, "All right."
And you weren't writing at this time then?
No, I was. I was dabbling, which I always, that's a side story. Yeah, I had my own, I was dabbling, I wrote, I got up. I never really talk about it because I don't think it was a very distinguished career, but that's part of what we talk about in the book a bit later. And at that time I was writing, definitely. I was fully into it. And so we went off, got our paint, came back. And then all these people started arriving, like Kate, Fret, Series, like people from all different parts of London started turning up. And eventually a group of 11 of us headed off to Means Yard. And then
Where did you all meet? At the Acton
Ladbroke Grove Station.
Ladbroke Grove Station.
Yeah.
That was like the benching spot, right, back then, right? One of them.
A little bit, but most people avoided it because you'd have to watch out for foam. But it was my local station, so I just was going in and out. But I don't think you'd want to hang out there for hours and hours, and like, unless you were his friend.
Yeah.
But what year is this? 1989.
That was 1990. That was the next year.
Okay.
So I was living around the corner. I was still in Ladbroke Grove myself.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, but you were like 9 years old. The station. I was nine.
That's not in your nose, motherfucker. Yeah.
That was quite. That must have been a fun place to be nine, though, right around the corner. Yeah. So we went off.
But hadn't caught the graph by nine. So anyway, you're all meeting up, and then there's 11 of you going down.
We're all meeting up. There's 11 of us, and we went to Means' house, and we chilled at Means' house, and then we all walked from Means to Acton. And we did two window down hole cars, and for me it was probably in terms of what I did in London, it was the best mission, and it was
two
just
window down hole cars.
See. And it was I have to thank me team leader. It's like a leader figure. It's like, right, do this, do that. And so we all went along, and I got on quite well with Saw Six. Like, we chatted, and I don't think some of the writers like had probably never met a foreign person. They were like, who's this foreign dude? I had met foreign people. I was like, we chatted and we got on, and we got on quite well. And I had his address. And a year later, I was traveling around Europe and I just looked him up. And that ended up being a little episode in Berlin, which I got photos of in the book.
Is there photos from that mission you're talking about?
No.
Nah.
Mean has them. I never took, I didn't take a camera. So my one decent train piece doesn't exist. On camera. And that sums up my
group. Who else was there? You said Casby.
No. Casby had stopped writing by then.
It was loads of people that met up. There was Mean, there was you.
Fret.
Mean. There was Lone, Fret, who was Mean's buddy at the time, obviously. There was Series, who was in SBS, which was Mean's crew. There was Subway Kate, Saints. Fret, who were from Woodford. Or well off up the central line somewhere. And there was a guy called Amp, who, as far as I could work out, Kate and Fret, they used him to carry.
Well, Amp, A-M-P.
A-M-P, yeah.
And that's where Maddie got his name from, Amp. Yeah, he's completely bit that, 100%.
And as far as I could see, they used him to carry their paint. They were quite sly, and this dude was, as far as I could work out, when walking there, I was like, oh, what's he got those big bags? And they were like, anyway. So they a kid called Arib, who I never saw again or never heard from again. Me and Cal and Saw Six. I think that makes 11, unless I miss someone out. Anyway, it was a good.
Me and Cal and Saw Six. Cal, did you say? Yeah.
Yeah, my friend Cal, who was also in CW, who was my buddy, who was, I guess, was my partner in crime for a couple of years. And this was a good friend.
And like, kind of when I was chatting to you, Damo, before we were recording the other day, I did mention how I thought a good format for this episode. Actually, Damo, have you got a light in that room? Can you switch a light on? Sorry,
for sure.
Mate.
It's getting really dark. It's getting dark here in Catford. Hold on.
And I want to see the glow. I want to see the glow off the top of your noggin. You know what I mean?
It gets dark in Catford.
I didn't hear that, but I heard something about baldism. Yeah. Baldism is a crime, mate. It's the next ism. Trust. Yeah. I've worked in a school. All the kids are baldists. It's not good.
I bet. No, but I was saying like that I thought a good format for this pod would be...
Yeah, what's the format for the show?
All three of us, obviously Damo made the book, but me and Theme went through the book and we picked three photos each from the book that we could maybe expand on a bit and talk about.
That's a great idea. I have a full disclosure. There's one single photo in the book that I did not take, or some of them I'm in, obviously, so I did take those, but it's one. So that one can't be chosen. Well, if you don't choose it, no one will know.
Exactly. And also you said to me as well that there was a bunch of photos that you had got through exchanges and through, you know, other people giving you photos back in the day. And you said you didn't want to include them because you didn't take them. But I said send them anyway, maybe if
I
we have time.
A couple to you. You got those. Yeah,
I got them.
There were loads. Initially, I just sat down. I was like, I want to do a book about graffiti. And I've got a friend who's a book designer who did this, who did an amazing job. Johnny from Zone 6 Press. Thank you, Johnny. And he put together a thing. And then I looked at it. I was like, about half of these, I didn't take them. So I just pulled them out. And it ended up being much better because it was much more coherent. Like every photo to me has a story. Every photo I can know about, and I'm happy with how it came out. So,
have you got your phone in front of you, Damo?
I've got my WhatsApp web. You might
okay, there we go.
Thing.
So I've just sent a photo. I thought, because you mentioned CWS.
Of course. That's an interesting one. Is that the starter?
This is I'm thinking let's hit it off with this one. I mean, you know, I'll go with one of my choices from the book.
That's Cal, no?
That is my friend Cal. That is taken in South Harrow.
Hold on one second, Damo, because there's some people who only listen to the podcast. So let me just quickly describe it, just very quickly for the people listening. It's in a yard. There's a train behind this guy doing a kung fu pose with a hood on, holding a spray can. And behind him on the train, there's a window down dub saying CWS. It looks like a...
Chiba Wizards, motherfuckers! What a crew name!
Is that a Piccadilly? No, what
is
that?
It's a Piccadilly, it's South Harrow.
South Harrow. All right, cool, man. So, yeah, so sorry, continue.
Chiba Wizards is fucking sensational. Yeah, sensational.
And that comes from...
I love that name.
From Bodhi.
So it's obviously Bodhi influence. I can tell you the story of that crew name. So it's an interesting story. The first time I ever saw it was I had a friend called Barney at school, who was also friends with Snatch. They were good mates. And big up Barney. I haven't spoken to Barney for ages. But big up
Barney. Go on, B.
And so we finished, it was an O-level. I'm old enough to have done O-levels. So it was one of the last O-levels. And I remember, always a mock or something, and I remember I was sitting near him and he was scribbling away. And I was like, what are you writing? And he was like, this SWC, and it said... It was Sweet Wizards of Chiba. I was like, what's that? He's like, yeah, it's my new crew name, whatever. And so he put that up a little bit, I think, and him and Snatch messed around with it. And then one day, this is interesting. Then Flo 2 and Era, the first Era, who is later became Shun. So the name Era originally belonged to Shun in London.
Okay.
That's a historical thing. And they were...
Era with Baps. Era and Baps was after that.
Era with Baps came along later and he was from out of London. And he took the name and Shun was already writing Shun. So that there was no dispute about that. But before that Era existed... Shun wrote Era, and he was in a crew called Yardies with Flo. They were in YDS. They were at school with me, and when they were 13, they were like 14, 15, and they were hitting yards a lot, loads, especially Flo 2. And they went to Farringdon and did a whole car that says Chiba Wizards. And I don't know what that came about or who did that outline, but they did that. And that the photo of that is in... when the Beyond the Streets, they did the exhibition last year. They did a book called A Remote History of London Graffiti. So anyone who's got that book, there is that Chiba Wizards whole car is in that book.
Send it to me, people.
What is it? Window down.
It was a window done that they did in Farringdon. And these kids, they were like, they were 14. They were 14 years old. They did a whole car. And then at some point in around 1989, Snap started writing CWS, Cheaper Wizards. And he got people to involved in that and got people to write it. And it was after 1989 when he did all those nice pieces in Three Corners. So a lot of people wanted to be in it. And there was one point where it seemed like everyone was writing it after their name. And yeah, then it seemed like it got too fashionable and everyone's like, oh, everyone's in this, so they stopped doing it and that was fine. They went and did their own thing.
Is that what happened? That's how it ended.
A little bit. It sort of became like too big. It
got played out.
But for us it was our friends and a few things, and Cal was my buddy, and we always wrote that from the beginning. It was only really 2 year fate. It was like 1989, 1990.
Gee, that's deep.
And then
and we had more
Saw Six in it, put the German dude in it, which is why in the book there's a photo of a Cheaper Wizards window down on the S-Bahn in Berlin from about
1990. I noticed that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, how come?
Yeah, well, he got put in it by Snatch. And there's actually, he did a book, that guy, Saw Six, he later went on to write Odem and become very famous and like a king of Berlin and etc. Yeah. And he wrote a book with a journalist that's called Odem, and in it he has a photo of a window down he did, and it has Saw Six, CWS, SBS, which are two London crews. So he went off to Berlin and put them up.
So was it quite big then, back then, like even the European writers, like you said, it was quite strange for some people to have like a German guy there.
I think this
guy doing it,
he was one of the first. It wasn't normal. That wasn't a normal thing. Like really, and he wrote a book about it, and he talks about how he went to Paris on his, and he talks about London was really good because he was well received, in fact, and he met people like Snatch and Mean, and they were super friendly, and he talks about going to Paris, and no one wanted to have anything to do with him, and he goes off and does a piece on his own in Paris and stuff.
Bloody
and friends. Then he had quite a mad life. He went off to New York.
N'importe quoi, tu vois?
Ouais, tu es quoi, tu? So, tu veux quoi, toi? Bleu. It would have been like that. Yeah, you know how Parisians are. They're quite Parisian. Mate. But the book's quite good, and I've got a copy, and you can Google translate the pages. And he talks about Mean, and it's quite funny. And in the Google Translate, I don't know, there's some error, and it says Mean was a Rasta.
It's probably because they said he was
Mino's the Rasta.
Probably said he was in Yardies, right?
Or something. Maybe. I think it's to do with Mean's haircut or something.
Because he had a big fucking floppy mop on his head.
Yeah.
There's some photos in the book actually of Mean with the floppy. Anyway,
he got Mean because Acton Town for quite a while was Mean's yard.
For a long time, yeah, but definitely.
Afterwards, but. I suppose you've got to remember Mean's fucking smashed.
You know what? We want to listen. One of you two now need to decide which photo you want to put up. But I reckon it's a good time for a song as well. We're already a
got a song from Brazil, doesn't it?
No, we're not into Brazil yet because Damon
later.
Oh yeah, that's coming later. We had a stint in Brazil. I've got a couple Brazil tunes as well. I reckon we go with your song theme for the meantime. And there's some UK hip hop. From a legend.
UK-ish.
Melanin 9.
Mm. Oh, it just came on today and I was thinking, what the fuck is this? Yeah. I haven't, you free up space and you lose some mixtapes. This is from some mixtape that had like 19 tunes on it or something. It is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, because it's on a beat, I think, man, I fucking can't remember if it's Resurrection or...
Yeah, play
or,
the blood
clock. Anyway, let's go. Melanin 9, Soldiers.
Treacherous times we living in. What? Respect to all my soldiers in the flesh.
You get
this
as well. Sick.
From west to north to east to south. What? Yo. Yo. In the flats making cells, empty and max shells. I witnessed the end of an era by 2012. Maxing on cells prevent me from relaxing. Atmosphere madness push the earth backwards on its axis.
I mean, ice cap collapsing,
cause a madman's actions trapping without a plan for counter reaction. Cameras caption actions without flashing. And every black skin, whether illegal or paying taxes, we get by telling lies without a bias to white guys to survive in this hype life. We utilize the mind right.
and enlighten the wise in disguise like Morpheus in this never ending fight. Split slit to elevate the wisdom, politicking for better positions, tuition a mission, remain practiced until the day of execution. Soldiers as captains from the day of their recruitment, cause life is a gamble and we all place bets. Living in this mess, I bless every oxygen breath. For all my brothers having problems and the only way to solve them is death. I show respect for all my soldiers in the flesh, cause life is a gamble and we all place bets. Living in this mess, I bless every oxygen breath. For all my brothers having problems and the only way to solve them is death. I show respect for all my soldiers in the flesh. Witness the most corrupted days, you could say my luck's running astray. Still remain stuck in my ways, in this fast race it's hard to keep up with the pace. Days face strange, working on some futuristic slave trader today. Many still remain afraid of change, playing PlayStations while space stations remain. I meditate to balance the mind state, drowning in champagne alongside braves with veteran aims. Some say it gets no better than Kane, circulate your weight and maintain as we celebrate in the flames. Strategic aim, seek for fame, twisting trees to ease the pain. Insane brain shift came from night to day and rain, faster 40 days. Others are laughing, cleaning up their ways, and youths are more professional than Eno at his game. Gone way past the point of being ashamed. Kilos claim, egos frame, what the Freemasons aim.
That's the Respiration remix by Black Star, but the beat.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
But Melanin 9, man, he's heavyweight geezer. Damo, are you into any UK hip hop, or are you into that breakcore from the 80s? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I just feel old, man, these days.
tell me
UK hip hop, like, really, the UK hip hop we really liked, it was that in those days, Demon Boys, London Posse,
Blade,
my faves. London Posse, Money Mad was a huge tune. Jump Around. And then Demon Boys had a whole load of tracks. And then they actually did a jungle track, which is called Debt. If you've never heard that, that's quite amazing. And then from Ladbroke Grove, you had Cash Crew. I don't know if you heard of them.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And those days was crossover. Like, Cash Crew actually made a rave track called Ammo. You ever would have listened? That's quite an amazing. It was big. It was like a dance floor stomper.
I'll check it out.
And you'd look them up and it's like, oh, that's made by Cash Crew and stuff. So those days were quite fusion. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. But other UK rap days.
Ty is a nice... He was my favorite UK rapper, probably, Ty, T.Y. And he came out to Rio. I had a laugh with Ty in Rio, man.
Oh, no way.
He's a nut, and he was a funny dude. And
he was a joker. He was a cool motherfucker, man.
One reason I liked Ty was because around 2000, I was very into Broken Beat, which is, again, West Side production.
Four Hero
from... NW from up from Dollis Hill, but there was Goya, which was a record label based out of like Kensal Road, just over the canal, and loads of people with their IG Culture and people like that. And why did I get on that Broken Beat tangent? Because Ty was friendly with them. And once the first time I ever saw Ty was at Jazz Cafe, because there was someone linked to Broken Beat called Bembe Segwe did a live show at the Jazz Cafe, and Ty was the compere. So one thing nice about Ty was he was multi-genre.
Yes.
And he came to Rio and he made a track with an NGO / band that I work with called Afro Reggae, which was the reason I moved to Rio. Mm-hmm. And Ty was cool, man. He was a nice guy. He did a show with them at the Barbican, and I went backstage to chat to him before the show. And he was playing me the beats he'd made for his second album. I might have to send you the link after. But and he made these amazing beats himself on his machine. And he was playing them to me. I was like, what? And they were sort of broken beats. That's why Ty was interesting. Again, he was a genre crosser.
He had a lot of influence from Tony Allen and, like, you know, those type of
influence.
I know.
Yeah. And he was cool, and he made a lot of beats himself. And in fact, in Rio, he came and did a show, and I went with him in Madureira. He did a show, and he left his MPC player in the back of a taxi.
Those MPCs, they're huge.
It was big. He just forgot about it. He got out of the taxi, and that was that. But
in Brazil, that's gone.
Yeah. But it wasn't. But that's the good bit. It wasn't, because I got out, he got out, and then there was an Austrian dude called Gunther.
I pick up the Gunther. Come on, Gunther.
And Gunther got home, and Gunther was the only one with the brains left. It's probably the only sober one among us to remember, like, oh, Ty left his thing in the back of the boot and got it out. And that was how Gunther saved Ty's NPC in Rio.
That's deep. And you know, Unsung
Triple
Heroes.
Batman Certified Stripes.
They produced a lot of Ty's first album. That's how I found out about Ty, man. And, yo, the guy just, and every time I met him, I didn't know him well, but every time I would meet him, he'd always be like love and hugs and.
Yeah.
Just
and a very funny dude.
Funny motherfucker, man.
The
very
track
nice
that,
guy as well.
The track he did that really woke me up to him was Wait a Minute. Which I just love. I still love to this day, because it's completely original. Like, it's a genre blend, and it's his own thing. And it's a love song as well. It's not, you know, I sort of think that Ty didn't not, when he was making music, he didn't get enough attention because he was a bit too off the curve. Like, he was just off the curve, and people couldn't really, he'd rap about Lent. There was a TV show called Rising Damp, and he'd introduce all these funny references.
I remember.
And I think, and he just wasn't stereotypical enough. So people, especially media and stuff, sort of ignored him. And then when he died, people made like, oh, Ty, this great British rapper. And he's like, yes, but when he was alive, you didn't really pay attention to
him. His flowers.
And again, not knowing him, you know, personally, but from what I got from him, he had certain standards and he had, morals. So I reckon he probably was offered a few things that probably could have helped him up, but he didn't do them for whatever reason. Anyway, I don't want to speculate, you know what I mean? Rest in peace, Ty.
Music first. He was a music first dude, I'd say.
And like you said, he was involved in a lot of community issues and a community action and charities and all sorts of stuff. He was all about that, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So respect to my man. Yeah, and he definitely didn't get his flowers while he was here, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did from people who knew, but...
Yeah,
from the people who knew exactly, but not more broadly. But anyway, I'm glad they've got that mural of him in Brixton. I saw it, and that's nice to know that. Yeah.
Shout out Bunny Bread, man, who did that, man. Yeah. Legend, man. I just sent now on the WhatsApp one of the ones, Damo, one of the picks Damo wanted to talk about. I hope I got the right one, brother.
This isn't La France.
Oh, vive la France, putain mortel.
Eh, putain ouais,
mortel. Mortel, mortel,
mortel. Ça va, ça va.
So, okay, it's just a guy... Wearing a puffer jacket.
Je peux vous présenter ma missus. No, elle est elle vient. She's not.
Je suis désolé.
Wave hello. Just wave hello to the team and Amber.
Hola, vous êtes très gentil.
Bonjour. No, she can't hear. She
can't hear.
She can't hear.
Damon was very excited about this chat, by the way.
Oh, I was excited.
Yeah. Now we're excited to have him. Yeah. Tell her.
We're excited to have him.
Yeah.
That's my missus, who's actually Spanish.
Okay.
I see. De donde?
Theme is married to a Spanish speaking woman from Venezuela.
Caracas.
Spicy Caracas. Latinas.
Sí. Entonces, ¿tú hablas español?
Sí, yo hablo español, sí.
Y portugués también.
Y portugués.
Of course. Portugués. Pero completamente fluido.
Sí, el portugués, sí.
Yeah. Joder. All right, guys, come on. Gracias. Now we're in England, mate. Fucking come on.
Yeah, fuck you, we painted fucking triangle signings, mate, in 1989, bruv.
Stop talking foreign. Wait.
Yo, all right, let's check out this photo demo. It's just it looks like a man in a tunnel. He's a dude wearing a fucking puffer jacket. It looks like an old school photo from the 90s with some graph in the background.
Definitely.
Tell us what's up with this flick, man.
So this dude, he's a cool guy. He's called he wrote Oeno, O-E-N-O. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough, he invited me to accompany him on a mission with a couple of other dudes, and we went and visited a tunnel in the Paris.
This is in Paris, yeah?
Paris. And that is in 1991, so I was going around Europe, and it's a Sunday night, to Monday morning. And what I really like about this photo, really, is it's grimy, man. Mm. And it's a Sunday night, man. And it's yeah. 3 a.m. So 3 or 4 a.m. And it's going to be Monday morning. And, like, basically, what is this guy doing there? And
he doesn't give a fuck about it being Monday morning, bruv. He's living, bro.
Exactly. He's living.
How old is he? Looks, I mean, he looks like he's 17, maybe.
Yeah, 17, 18. Yeah, I was 18 when I took it. He was probably 18. So,
what? These are the tunnels of the metro in central Paris.
Yeah.
In Paris.
So that was, it was between Madeleine and Saint-Lazare stations, I remember very well. And he was very generous. We met up, we just bumped into each other in the streets, like, Graf, oh, yeah, this, that, oh, you're English, blah, blah. We got on, and he was like, all right, let's meet up, come. And I hung with them for a couple of weeks. I was living in Paris for maybe a month, and hung with him and his mates for a couple of weeks. And what I like about that photo is what I think it shows is the work ethic of the graffiti writer.
That's what I'm saying.
He's a man at work. He's not messing around. He's
like, he doesn't even want to be in the photo. He's like, you've got 30 seconds, bro. Right, I'm off.
Yeah. And it's like, well, who else wants to be in that tunnel and on a Sunday night to Monday mornings? It's hard work. And this guy basically was very big in Paris. And a few months later, he was with a group that they went and did Louvre Station, and they
compared. That was him, like, with Gary.
With Gary. Gary.
Gary.
Is that the video? That was one of the videos you sent me, right?
Exactly. I sent you that because that basically it led. That video is good because it's basically commuters complaining, which I understand. It cost $500,000 to clean. And you were they're like, what's going on? And there's these kids who've obviously come down to see it. And it's a brilliant scene. Like, they're arguing.
That guy.
And there's a kid going to the woman. He's going, just a couple of gogs. And it's like, I'll cut your throat. And you're like, oh. It's like a little scraggy kid.
They're rago, like, out in Paris, man. They're rago, man. And it's kind of symbolic in a way, under the Louvre, the bastion of what's supposed to be art. That's and it. What, you know, all the legendary artworks.
They got some reaches on the head of, like, the fucking panther or whatever it is. I can't remember.
I'm gonna edit in that video here, man, so people can check it.
Yeah, big Gary. Big up, Gary.
And he went to prison.
This guy went to prison for that mission.
Basically, he got nicked, like, a few... Like, shortly after that, some magazine published an interview with him and published his photo, and without his permission. He didn't know, and that was that. And he was going to get nicked again now. National scandal, and he was, I think, the first person.
Someone did what? Someone paid.
He did an interview with a magazine, and they printed his photo with his face. Those were early days, so he wasn't expecting it. And that's it. He got a knock on the door, dawn raid, and the next thing he knew is in prison. I don't think it was a lot. I don't think it was a long sentence, but it was an example thing. It was like,
Are you still mates with him?
I'm still in touch with him. He's got the book. I sent him the book. And he went on to have a career as a DJ, as a hip hop DJ. So you can look him up. And his DJ name is.
Did he come out of prison and start writing again?
That I believe so, but I believe under other names. I've heard that from third parties.
He was a big man thing.
What's
Paris?
His DJ
big
name? I want to know what his DJ
name. You can see him. You can find him on. He's on Instagram as Owino. I'll send you a link to it. But his DJ name was J.R. Ewing. J.R. Ewing, and he was a big maker of mixtapes. Like, he did tons. He was quite a big in the hip hop scene.
People need to know about Paris, man. They need to remember. For anyone who doesn't know, that Paris it still does, but back then had a fucking ridiculous scene, like, of hip hop and graff.
Their man
took it, like, really, they really took it on.
And they took on from the rest of Europe and from New York, but they took their own styles and they were very proud to be French and they did it in a French
Arabic, like, you know.
Arabic, African influence, for sure.
Yeah, they didn't mess
around. Some of the greatest out, fucking banging. The graph styles, okay, they had sick pieces in that, but when they had trackside dubs, they had, like, that proper Back then, European graph was sick, like Dutch graph, French graph. All you'd never hear people going, European trash, European trash. Because it was, some places were banging. Paris being right up there with street bombing, throw-ups, this own underground system getting battered. But it was more street bombing than London. It was fucking battered.
This might be an interesting question, Damo. In 89, 90, 91, what was your interaction, but did you see anything coming from Europe? Obviously, you had the New York influence, you had Style Wars, you had all that stuff coming through. But from Europe, what kind of things were you hearing? Was it all through word of mouth and photos, or was there any sort of outlets back then that you remember? Or
I think it was mainly word of mouth, and you had Spring Can Art, obviously, which was that.
Of course, that was a world
that brought together the European stuff and had Stalingrad. I think in London, the main person was Mode 2, is going back and forth.
Of course.
Obviously. And had his friends in London and had his crew in London and had his French crew. So he was going back and forth. I don't remember seeing many Europeans up in London, but I do remember Andre was, and Andre I really always liked because he wrote his name, Andre. And he used to have tags up in central London. And he went on, he's the guy who went on and became Monsieur A, and is like a big street artist dude. And
big Andre.
Yeah, but he began as Andre. I don't know if you know. And Monsieur A is like a big up there with all, you know, all these big. It's the stick man with the smiley face.
And that monocle.
Yeah.
No.
He began up in Barcelona.
Yeah,
he began as a writing Andre. And he was a tagger. Yeah, and he wrote Andre, and he had tags in London. But I don't know of any other at the time, but definitely Andre. And I always liked Andre because it's just his name, Andre. Like Andrew. John.
Yeah, mate. Just what I'm on fucking Andrew, name, bruv.
Andrew doesn't work as well as Andre, does it?
No. Andre. Andre the Giant.
Talking about Andrew, because his team's name is Andy. But yo, what's your nick?
You wouldn't have bummed it though, would you? Definitely.
No, definitely.
I didn't have the balls for that size.
I mean, it's kind of counterproductive to put your own name out there. You know what I mean?
That's to a certain degree. It is. And my tag was a version of my own name. Who used to write their own name a lot was Grand. Grand used to do whole cars, and he had an amazing whole car, Terry Loves Karen, and it was my favorite thing. And it was a stainer. It was a whole car stainer, and he used to go everywhere. I used to see it everywhere.
I think one of the photos I chose is a Terry panel.
That was one that didn't go in. There's a whole story behind that. Yeah, I can tell you that.
But look, Theme just sent us a photo talking about.
So we were just talking about
Mode 2.
I've seen a lot. Everyone's seen a lot of Mode 2 graph. But for me, that era there, that was my favorite.
Bruv.
And just big up Dyer in there, Shun in there, Snatch in there. Chrome Angels.
It just takes me back to being a teenager, getting like Graffitism and those magazines in the school playground. Everyone huddled around that one magazine. And like those early websites as well that were happening like in the mid-90s, maybe late.
And there was a Mode 2 episode of Graffitism. There was like a sort of see-through tracing paper kind of pull-out.
Crazy.
Well, but that is the mode. Did you take that photo?
Those photos. Definitely.
And you can see it's all like linked up as well. You know, you can see where the photo you've added, you know, pasted them on. I mean, how would you do that? Just literally through eye, through your eye and just cut the photo and stick them together, right?
Yeah, that was just walking along. That's three photos laid over each other. So I just took that. Mm. That was at the Fulham Hall of Fame. That was after Unity, but I don't know if he actually painted it at Unity, but that was. He did that afterwards or something. And I think it's just an amazing wall, isn't it? Yeah, I think.
Oh, mate. What does that say? Yeah. In the last war, because there's two kids on the right-hand side, two little kids, one like sucking on his finger and a little girl with her teddy.
Granny told me people learned to cope however bad it got.
But
we're not at war, they're nowhere. No, no, I can't see.
But we're not at war, are we? I think so.
We're not at war, are we?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Mode 2 is operating on his own level, isn't he? Basically, like
Bruv, have you ever seen Mode 2 comment on Instagram, bruv?
They're like, they're essays.
This is wisdom laying it down.
I had a little back and forth with him. I don't want to get into this subject, but Futura recently, with the recent Olympics, he did a thing with Nike, the ending ceremony, where he did a graph piece and all the b-boys and b-girls who were involved in the Olympics were all breakdancing around him. There was fireworks. It was a crazy advert for Nike, basically, who was a big sponsor, I guess, for the Olympics.
Yeah.
And then I wrote a comment, just a little comment going, yo, big up Futura, legendary writer.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's getting his money, but Nike can suck a dick. That's what I wrote. Because I'm free Palestine.
I'm vulgar.
I did actually put an asterisk instead of an I on the dick because, you know, I kept it clean, yeah?
Who made that Brazil shirt? Or is it fake?
This is a fake.
Is it Nike?
I bought outside the Maracanã for five reals, like 50p, yeah. You know what I mean, off some dude on the street.
What they call that in Rio is Nike, fake Nike, yeah. Nike.
And
Nike.
I got some Nike, all that stuff, fair enough. But I'm just talking about the recent things that are going on in Gaza, Nike, and there's a whole thing going on there. Anyways, that's why I wrote that. Yeah. And then Mode 2, like, he wrote me like a big thing because obviously him and Futura are super close. And he understood that I'm coming with respect, obviously, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he wrote, why did he write that? And then I explained my situation. And then he wrote back, goes, yo, I wrote a whole thing, but Instagram, like, it deleted it or something. Yeah. And he goes, I can't be asked to write it again.
You got off.
Yeah, I got off. I got off.
The guy's down.
He goes, I wrote this whole nuanced big paragraph. He goes, Instagram deleted. I'm like, okay, cool, man. Not all good.
Yeah, but
we end up chatting in the DM. Like, it's all love. You know, he knows it's all love. And he's not going to sit there and defend a massive corporation like Nike. You know what I mean? Fuck them.
But what was going on back in the Zed? Yeah. Was Mode, he must have been, because he was in Graf in Paris as well at the time, at the same kind of years. No?
He was based in Paris.
He was just back and forth, basically Paris.
He was based in Paris. From what I knew, he was always based in Paris, but he would come back and forth, and he was friends with Snatch, who was friends with Zaki, so the Chrome Angel. There was a link between the Chrome Angels.
Well, they
and
had
Snatch,
that crew,
and they'd hang
Crime
out.
Crime Time Kings, right? Was the crew that linked the Chrome Angels with Bando and his crew that he was doing in Paris, and then there was CTK kind of linked the two together, from my understanding.
Yeah. If you want to read more about that, it's in that Remote History of London Graffiti book.
Well, I've reached out to
Bando. It's
very good
because Bando's from a mad family. Like, I won't. Yeah. You have to read the thing to learn about it, but. Tells about Bando's family and blah, 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 blah. And it's a great graph story.
Bando has said a couple times, he said he's been up for going on the pod. We did have one lined up, but then he flaked in the last minute, but he's definitely up for doing it. So we will
He's got a very interesting life story, I believe. So
I'm intrigued to find out about that, but Bando's style and his letters just influenced me massively, man, I have to say.
Yeah.
So, you know, I rate that fucking dude.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think also in that book, it talks about Casby actually went to Paris and met them all in the early days.
All right. So I'm going to choose one of my photos. Or is that one of your ones, Damo? No, wait, hold on. No, this might be one of yours, Damo. So let's go into that. Because I think...
I'm just thinking. I've been talking about graph books. Over there is like the TV and it's like on one of them stands. And in the stands, it's just... graph books.
I know. There's
you know, lots, hardback graph book. And my son, he slept there last night on an inflatable. He must have just been looking at it because he never asked him about it.
Yeah.
But now he's like 10. He's obviously like looking at every single one of those books. He's like New York Graffiti, blah, blah, blah.
Dame has twins. Damo has twins as well, man.
Yeah.
But they're
a bit younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, unlucky, bro.
Are yours identical?
Yeah, biologically, yeah, but they're not super identical.
Yeah, but two boys.
They're in the same sack, yeah.
Yeah.
Identical. Yeah. Two boys, and they're 10. They're 11 in February, fucking hell. And we just got the fucking phones, yeah, because the school told us to get a fucking phone. Yeah.
Wow.
They need to get phones. And I'm like, no, I don't want to get them a fucking phone, bro. Do you know what I mean? It's their last year of junior school, and then now they have to walk to school on their J's. Brother, it's like, what is like 90 seconds, and you have to get them a phone. Yeah?
But it's a brick phone, so we get, yeah?
Well, yeah, we get our own two old iPhones that we have lying about. Just give them to the youths. Get a SIM or anything. Blah, blah, blah. And then today, the school goes, excuse me, your son has a smartphone, yeah? And we request that they don't use that to go to school because they could get jacked. They could, and don't tell them not to have headphones. And but there's been online bullying and then.
Yeah, you don't want them downloading like social media and shit.
But we can control all that shit. They can't have it. You know what I mean? And I just thought it was a fucking liberty. Now we've got to go and get them some old brick phone. But I'm saying to my ex, I'm like, no, it says request. It said, this is right back saying we politely decline your request. Yeah. Bun all of that. The kids are going to take the fucking phones that we got. Cuts! Now we have to get new phones.
Jesus.
Whoever thought, like when we were at school, about fucking who, like, you know what I mean? It's just not needed.
Bruv, I remember at school when you'd go to the exam, like a maths exam or thingy, and
get fucking strip search. Yeah. Imagine having a phone on you.
Yeah,
and
they'd
shit.
Be like, no calculators allowed. You're not going to have a calculator.
Those Casio watches with you can't take that in.
Yeah. They're like, you're not going to have a calculator on you in the future. You know what I mean? I'm like, bro, we all got calculators on us.
Do you remember that saying?
Yeah.
You can't rely on that now because when you grow up, you won't just have a little pocket, something in your pocket that's going to save your life all the time. You're like, fucking hell, bro.
They didn't see that coming.
I've got absolutely anything I want on earth. If you're a youth now, why are you going to bother going to school? You still need to know anything. Bro, anything you want. Okay, that's it.
Bro, it's like my mate. He did 3 years to do the knowledge. He's a taxi driver now. But he did it right at the time while sat navs were being invented and shit. And so by the time he finished the knowledge, he fucking had a TomTom thing, man. And it's
really?
Yeah. And it was like, yo, what's the point? But now I think they still do the knowledge now because it's kind of like a way of whittling out. Because there's only a certain amount of black cabs they're allowed.
Yeah, you've got to do
so. You have to do the knowledge, even though it takes you 2-3 years to fucking do. It's just a way of whittling out the people.
But I haven't seen them. You used to see them on scooters and they used to be on mopeds, not scooters. Yeah. And they used to have the board and you used to know that was someone doing the knowledge.
Yeah.
Because they used to have a clipboard.
Oh, yeah.
With the, dresses.
With the A to Z on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how that works.
Hello, geezer, just doing the knowledge, isn't I, Sad? You know what I mean? Give me a bit of feedback.
Listen, I just sent you guys a photo. I think it's one from Damo's stash from the book.
Oh, big Damo.
I dream of. Yeah, but before we go into this, I think we should play the song that Damo wanted to play. It's by a very famous Brazilian artist called Tim Maia, right?
Correct. That's how you
put it. Tim Maia. Yeah. Legendary dude, man, like in a crazy character from like the 60s and 70s. He did a lot of songs in English and in Portuguese and everything. This is, I don't know what year this one's from, but it's called Brother, Father, Sister, Mother. Let's get into it quickly, man.
Brother, every time I call you home, you are dancing. Sister, please don't put your children on initiation.
I like it.
'Cause there's no heaven, there's no there's no devil, there's no hell. Mother, every time I call you home, you are in church. Father, yeah, every time I call you home, you are saying true devotion.
Yo, people, go check out Tim Maya. That was brother, father, sister, mother. Yo, incredible artist. This guy, he was quite a controversial character as well, right?
He was. And he's proper Rio, like Rio. Rio. And it was funny because I was like, oh, I've got to pick one song. And I was like, I'd like to pick a Brazilian song. Mm-hmm. And I've got too many Brazilian artists to choose from. I just couldn't. And I went and looked. I've got like a 24-hour playlist of my favorite Brazilian artists. And I just scanned through it and I was like, oh, Tim Maia. And I thought it would be good for people who don't know about Brazilian music. It's a bit more accessible.
Yeah, because
he sung in English and he was also a soul dude. And I've got a few other songs I like more, but they're sung in Portuguese and they're a bit less accessible maybe to people who don't know Brazilian music. So I think Brazilian music's this amazing world. Like, it's such a musical country, but a lot of people don't know about it because it's sung in Portuguese or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I thought Tim Maia was a good pick. And that's a fun song. And he was like a funny man. I've got to read. Ooh. Like, I looked up a bio of him because I knew a bit about him, but not loads. But what did they say?
Me quite a funny thing, yeah.
This is a description of him. He's like, standing just 5'7", 6 foot with the afro, Tim Maia was large, in charge, and completely out of control. He was the personification of rockstar excess, having lived through 5 marriages and at least 6 children, multiple prison sentences, voluminous drug habits, and a stint in an UFO-obsessed religious cult. Tim is also remembered as a fat, arrogant, overindulgent, barely tolerated, yet beloved man-child who died too young at the age of 55. So I just...
Yeah, he loved his LSD, innit, man? Because continuing from that, yeah, he talks
about... Shall I read the continuation?
No. You'd have to read it, but I remember when you sent it to me, and even listening to that song, like, he was, it seems like because Brazil is a very religious country as well, man.
Of course,
And it's deeply ingrained there, but it seemed like him from his drug trips and stuff, he's like, fucking hell, like,
he was a bit anarchic.
Yeah.
But he was
talent shines through, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing about Brazil, like, you know, you can say and do all sorts of crazy shit out there, but if you got talent and you're good at singing or you're good at music, then you're going to be highly revered and people are going to love you, man, one way or another, you know? They can put up with a lot out there because it's a crazy place.
Yeah. It's a tough place. Like, once you break through, you can do what you want. But it's a tough country to, you know, there's a lot of talented people and then, limited amount of space for them. You know, Brazil's a tough
even resources
place.
Resources to get your stuff out. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things. I mean, maybe this picture that I sent, maybe So was this done by Menchi or Acme?
No, it's by a dude called Acme. Do you remember Acme?
I remember Acme, man. Yeah. He was a rapper in a group called Rimas e Tintas.
That's right, with Aida. Yeah. With Aida.
I remember seeing them live and they would basically have a canvas behind them and one of them would be rapping while the other one's spraying on this canvas and then they'd switch. Yeah. The other guy would give him the spray can and he'd take the mic and then the other guy would start rapping and then the other guy would continue the painting. And then by the end of the set, they'd have a piece of graph in the back and they'd have done a show. It was fucking sick, man. These guys were ill.
They're good guys and Acme... So they're both dudes who grew up in favelas and would have started doing graffiti in the 90s and both super talented. And Acme, especially like with characters, he would do characters.
Yeah. And his characters
he came from a favela called Cantagalo, which is, if you ever go to Rio, obviously the beaches are very famous and Cantagalo sits and it looks above Ipanema and Copacabana. Like the two, it's one of the most famous places in Brazil. And you got this favela going up the top and Acme's from there. So I like that photo because I used to work in favelas a long time and I would work in Cantagalo and I was wandering through Cantagalo and I came across that mural, which in fact it's a homage to a dead member of the CV of the Comando Vermelho drug gang, basically.
CV, I remember that.
So you look, he's got an R. I think he was called Robinho. I think I remember that happening and that guy getting, and he got shot. And it says a lot to me about Rio. I like it because I just look at that and it says everything about Rio. So you've got the guy, you got the sea, you've got a reading from the Bible. Like you said, Brazil's very religious. Cool. And that, I think that's a good thing because people are very conscious that you're here today, you're gone tomorrow. Like there's a saying in Rio, you know, it's a city where you can die of everything except boredom. And that's like basically how Rio is. Like it's quite random. People can quite suddenly, something can happen and they're gone. And yeah, I just loved that mural. I liked the way it was. When I took it, it was already quite old, the picture. You can see it's quite dusty. Yeah. And he's giving the thumbs up, but he's got the sad eyes.
And he's wearing a Liverpool top.
He's wearing a Liverpool top. So I guess obviously he would have liked Liverpool, but also it's red, which is with the CV colour. Commander Vermelho, yeah. Red command colour. That's probably why he would have worn a Liverpool top.
I've mentioned this on a previous podcast, like that when I first went out to Brazil and I was taken out and we went doing some graph, obviously more traditional graph, not the Pichação or the those styles of stuff. And I remember they wouldn't, like the cariocas, the Brazilians that I was with, wouldn't go over certain tags. And I, in my head, you know, coming from Europe, I was like, look, a dub goes over a tag, you know, those rules, like, you know, and a piece goes over a dub and all those fucking rules. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck it, it's a tag, let's go over it. And he's like, nah, that's CV, man. If you go over that and they catch you going over that, you're fucking dead. You know what I'm saying? They will shoot you. You know, Comando Vermelho, one of the biggest drug cartels in Rio, you know, at the time. Yeah, so sorry. Yeah, you just reminded me of that. So, damn. And Acme was I'm going to show you guys a few of his. I got to paint with him a couple times, man. Like, he was incredible artist, man. Like, and yeah, I saw him.
He's amazing.
I saw him several times, just like come up to a wall, no sketch, no nothing. And people go, yeah, paint this guy like that. Yeah. And he'd be like, why? And then they'd have a reason to paint this person. It might be a musician from the local area. It might be a friend of someone who passed away, whatever. And boom, he'd just look at the picture and paint like a life realistic painting of him, you know?
He still does that. If you look at his Instagram, he does a lot of paintings. He does paintings for people who passed away. Like, there's paintings for people who die from violence, because obviously Rio's a super violent place, sadly. And he does a lot of those paintings. But this one I liked because you wouldn't see it unless you went high up into that favela. It was like high up. And it was a painting for a drug trafficker, which is also taboo, like a deceased gang member. Yeah. And you wouldn't have seen it. And I think I went past it a couple of years later and it had been crossed out by the police or something.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Well, let's kind of get into that a little bit, man, because that's where I met you out in Brazil. We had, like, you know, mutual friends. You were friends with Tash, right?
With Tash and with your sister.
And she was friends with my sister. Yeah, exactly. With my sister. And Tash, by the way, is Natasha Manley. Her dad was the Prime Minister of Jamaica or something? No.
Yeah,
the Prime Minister of Jamaica. That was it. Yeah, it used to be. She's a very close family of our friends now till this day. You know, we see her all the time, man. Salute Natasha. We should get her on the pod. She's got an interesting story for sure. But yeah, anyway, so through all them lot, and I think Parrish was out there at the time when I'm, or
it's the writer.
Yeah.
I'm not pretty that I know sure. You might have known him.
Who was Tash?
All of Maddie's Brazilian tales fall apart in front of our eyes.
No.
Decade for millions of times on the pod, he says he's from Brazil, he's local, he's in every crew.
At the time, Tash
was all lies.
No, Maddie was there. I can certify that fact. Maddie had a fit girlfriend. He had a fit girlfriend who had a
Latina for Maddie.
We got Julia.
She had a Luis Gonzaga tattoo. Luis Gonzaga is like a singer, country music singer. And I remember she was fit, Maddie.
She loved her fajor. She was a fajor dancer.
She was a fajorzera, yeah.
Jesus Christ. They had to keep up.
Yo, trust me.
That's what I'm saying.
Trust me.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, do you remember Democratico Progresso or whatever? What was it called, that place? That was crazy.
It was Fundis. You're mixing two places. No. There was a samba place called Democraticos, and there was a concert venue called Fundis São Progresso. They're two distinct places, but you might have been to both in one night, probably.
No. I went to them both multiple times, but there was one place that was for horror music, I think on a Friday night or Saturday night. Yeah,
probably Democraticos.
Probably Democraticos, yeah. And you get the gahafa of beer, the big beer for like, 50p and get drunk up.
Yeah. It was a great place. It was good. It was like, I've lived a long time in Rio. I still have Brazilian residency and
It's so let's get into that.
Really?
So you went out there with Afro Nation, you said, who's they're like a charity organization, a band, and they were called
Afro Reggae.
Afro Reggae, that was it.
Yeah, right. And they basically did gang outreach in favelas and cultural projects. And they had graffiti writers, break dancers, everything, and it was a lot of they were great fun and they were amazing, really. And they did 3 years in a row at the Barbican Center. Mm-hmm. And I went and worked with them and during that period. So we come and go back and forth. And it was good. It was a good time. I ended up staying in Rio. They sort of, that organization stopped being quite so big as it was. But I stayed in Rio.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I remember you being quite involved in the favelas and part of this, was it a skate park? You were helping build skate parks?
Basically, like my first, I started off my career working for Amnesty International. I worked for 8 years, Amnesty International Brazil desk. I did reports on police violence. I ended up moving to Brazil, working with Afro Reggae and then with other different favela projects. But it's basically been like 20 years of my life. That's what I did. Worked in 20 Rio.
20 years of your life.
Basically, yeah.
So those skate parks that they're talking about, some of those skate, like that group there, they're building skate parks in conflict zones, like Iraq. I kind of remember it's Iran or Iraq, but different places.
Correct. In Brazil, yeah, yeah. No, make life skate life. And I basically managed to connect there. I was back in England. I spent 11 years straight in Rio. Then I came back to England for a little bit. And I made contact with Make Life Skate Life. And we built a park in Madé Favela. I don't know if you ever went there, Maddy. It's like on the road to the airport. It's a tough part of town. They've got like front lines with gang conflict going on the front line. And it's heavy part of town.
Yeah, Maddy was in those front lines.
No, I don't know. Maddy was in the particular front lines. One. I don't know. I went to a bunch with my sister, we taught English in a couple on Sundays. We would go, I think in Hosinia. And then the parties in Hosinia were the craziest, up the hill, up at the top. Right at the top.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Listen, let me explain to the listeners, the favela parties, It was one of them ones where it's like they'd have a wall of fucking speakers, man. And it's like each favela had, some would have several cartels in them, or some of them would have, I mean, please, Damo, correct me if I'm wrong. You were there a lot longer than I was. But there was one in Hosinia, which was a huge, one of the biggest parties they did there. You had to go right up the hill. You had to get a motor taxi, one of those motorbike guys. You'd sit on the back. They'd take you up for like five reals, whatever, a couple of quid. And then you'd go up there and it's just not lawless. There was not law, like no police were up there, but
South American.
But it was run by the cartels and people behaved themselves to a certain extent, because if something like, let's say as me, as a gringo, as a tourist, if something had happened to me in the favela, that would bring heat to that favela and that would affect the business of the cartels, but favelas, they have 90% of them aren't criminals, as maybe people would think. They're mostly just poor people with no address, nowhere to live. And so they would live in these favelas. They would have medicine and food and everything supplied for them to a certain degree from the cartels to a degree. But they'd work in the city. But anyway, you'd go up and the parties were crazy, man. Like
you're basically describing South American life.
To it, yeah.
That's what anyone tries to do anything to get a dollar.
Rio was special.
Anything to get a dollar, but when it's party time, it's like the greatest thing you've ever had in your life. These people are struggling, living like some of the people like in Venezuela. Venezuela's worse than Brazil.
Right? Yeah, I could imagine.
And these people, they have like the best parties of all time. They take the piss out of English. English person goes to the beach.
Yeah, he takes like his hat and a book and like a bag. He like walks down to the beach. He like unlays his towel and like gets his book. And then you get like people from South America going to the beach, like this massive thing of like buckets of frozen beers. I love that kind of side of it. But
there's
when I go there, I just assume nothing works.
Yeah.
And if it works, it's a bonus. That's it. You know what I mean? You've got to just got to be that laid back. Like, this is nothing, is not going to be anything like, especially administration and shit. When you're trying to do papers, you're like, this is never going to happen if it happens.
Like, up in Hosinia in these favela parties, the bass line, it was all about playing the music as loud as possible. This and at the time, it was baile funk music, whatever you want to call it. I don't know, it had several different names, but I knew it as baile funk.
Baile funk, for sure.
It was influenced from Miami bass music.
The primordial baile funk beat is called Volt Mix.
Volt Mix, all right.
And you can look it up and we can find it, but it's a very simple sort of electro.
I have a baile funk song here that I was going to play that was big at the time. It was the biggest song at the time when I was there. It's not a good song, all right? I need to give you guys a
let's see. The panel will decide, won't we, theme? We will see. Is it good or not good? It'll be like...
You'll know it instantly. It's called Creo. Yeah.
Oh, Creo.
It's a song called Creo by a guy called MC Creo. It was
MC
like the
Creo, of course.
It became, maybe Damo knows more about it, but it became the commercial version of baile funk, right?
Yeah, it was a very popular song. Like they always had their popular songs. Creo was popular, Creo.
It wasn't just popular. It was everywhere I went, this song was being played,
Have you played this already on the pod?
I might have.
You get the impression I'm going to know what this is.
I might have, because Creo, what does Creo mean? Demo, explain what Creo
I'm not means. Really sure what it means, and no one knows what it means, but it's a euphemism for sexual humping. Activity, I believe.
For humping. Creo means to hump. So this guy, MC Creo, he goes, I don't know, he says all sorts of stuff in Portuguese, like in the Gíria and in the slang out there and everything. And then he goes, Creo, like, you hump slowly and then it goes quicker. Then it goes, creo, and then it goes faster. Creo. It's just mad. Let's just listen to it just for a couple of minutes. A primeira devagarzinha, só aprendizado, hein? É assim, ó. Oh shit, hold on, sorry.
A primeira devagarzinha, só
aprendizado, hein? É assim, ó. Oh, why does this keep fucking up? Hold on. There we go. A primeira devagarzinha, só aprendizado, hein? É assim, ó. Creo. Se ligou? De novo. Creo. That's what everyone would do. Número 2. Creo. 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 You get the lady, the lady in front of you. Creo. 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 And it gets faster, even faster. Número 3. Creo.
Creo. Creo. Yeah. Tá ficando difícil, hein? Creo, 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 creo. Agora eu quero ver na
Wait for it, wait for it.
One more mode.
Vou confessar a vocês que eu não consigo a número 5. DJ! Velocidade 5 na dança do Creo!
Oh shit!
Yeah, then you're just like daggering, like
people going crazy.
Yeah, bro, that's Creo.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maddie. Like, I've relived some, that's historical.
Bro, that was everywhere when I was there.
How long did it take you to learn Portuguese? So you thought, fucking hell, I'm actually speaking, I'm thinking in Portuguese. I'm Portuguese.
Who's that, me or Maddie?
No, you. Me. My Portuguese is shit.
No, I was all right because I did Spanish at university and I knew other languages.
Muito similar, porra.
Yeah. They all come from Latin. So it's similar to French, Italian, Portuguese, Spanish are all linked. So,
they're not linked that the oh man, like Italian and Spanish, fair enough. I can almost have conversations.
Portuguese is the same.
Portuguese
Jesus, so the accent, man. But, I can't.
But is that because you're talking to people?
Hear it.
Are you talking to Portuguese people?
Maybe.
Porque o português do Portugal fala assim, é muito puxado, é um sotaque difícil para entender. Mas o português
é difícil para compreender.
É, mas o brasileiro fala, oh, sou do Brasil, Rio de Janeiro. It's easier, it's more musical, melodical, and more intonated.
Yeah. Brazilian,
same
Portuguese,
as Spanish and Spain and South America.
Exactly.
Exactly. The
Portuguese
same.
From Portugal is hard. It's quite difficult to understand because they don't go up and down a lot. It's like a.
Yeah, it's not musical. Yeah. My girl, yeah. I remember we were watching The Simpsons. Yeah, but it was dubbed in Portuguese in Brazil, but it was dubbed in Portugal Portuguese, and I was
era.
Like. Yeah. Okay, because I didn't know Portuguese, so I was like, okay, at least I've watched all The Simpsons, so something I can watch and I can understand what's happening, yeah? But she couldn't watch it. She'd be like, nah, it's Portuguese, you know, Portugal, Portuguese, I can't listen to this shit. Yeah. She wouldn't let me watch it, man. I was like, oh, shit.
Andrea does the opposite, but with the subtitles. So if I go into a show and they have, sometimes they have Spanish, is de España, and Spanish, Latino, Español, or something. I'm like, we're having that. She hates it.
Yeah.
Or like they're just the different lingua.
Oh, man. Listen, guys,
I wanted to talk about that photo that I sent in.
Yeah, let's kind of do a little bit more.
We've digressed a lot.
No, but I love it, Damo, man, because you're a cool motherfucker.
We need hours and hours.
We need more, but we don't have all night. So let's kind of do a little bit of a rapid fire through these pictures from Damo's book. It's called I Dream of Graffiti People. The link is below if you want
to
pop
it. There's only four left, you little wank snakes. Four left.
You know what I mean? All right, this one here, Damo, you see it, yeah? What's going on here?
That is...
Describe it. For a sec. I mean, not the whole thing.
It's a silver wild style dub is how I describe it. Silver with a red outline, white highlights and cracks. And I like the best thing about this was he did it in 45 minutes.
Oh,
and
wow.
And he's written that just up to the top left. And that sums up Snatch. He was
45 minutes. Yeah, I see that.
He was a wizard with the cans. Like, you know,
what paint was he using? Do you remember what paint?
That would have been probably Silver Spectra and a red Hammerite and a white Hammerite, I'm guessing.
Crazy.
Yeah. And he just knocked it out of nowhere. And it was a fun day. It was a Saturday afternoon, summer 1989. And it was a great time to be alive.
Is that him?
That's exactly what it looks like. It looks like that wall. It's a great time to be alive. That wall's been battered.
Yeah.
There's plenty of pieces behind it. All sorts of shit going on. He's in there with his Puma cap, pimping it in his B-boy stance. He's got Snatch 1989 written. Mate,
crazy.
Mate, the end of my mate. That is graph.
Nuts.
Yeah.
All of you bumpkins who send in your little pictures and ting, this is graph.
Big up Snatch, God bless.
I've never seen him on a podcast. Has he done a podcast? Would you reckon he'd be up for something like that, or you don't know?
You can try him. He's on the Insta. I Am Fake Blood, because he went on to work in music.
I know. I follow him. He does his thing. He makes beats from vinyl. Yeah. I love that, and I'm all into all that stuff.
He's done a book of his stuff, which is good, which I've got, which is like there's not many copies of it, but it's got all his black books and pieces and...
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy. Jesus well, we've Christ. Actually chatted, because Damo, we were on the BBC, as you know, I remember we chatted about it, and we shouted out the PFB and King Robbo and all that, and Rosa reached out, we mentioned this last week, but hopefully we might do a PFB episode with...
That's
a couple
exciting.
Of them.
Yeah,
hopefully we can get Rosa on there as well, man. But look, guys, I just sent another photo, one of yours, Damo, with a legendary graffiti writer from Rio. Another one. Shout out Acme.
The 2020 twins.
The twins.
Sao Paulo, man. Sao Paulo.
Oh, this is Sao Paulo. Okay.
Yeah. So the twins, like...
Os gêmeos.
They are... Like, I think probably for me, they're the top of the tops. Like, I don't know how to explain. Like, because Os Gêmeos were original B-boys. They're twin brothers. They started off as breakdancers and poppers in the 80s in Sao Paulo. And they've created their own language for doing graffiti. and they do trad graffiti, but they also do their own stuff. So this,
trad,
I went.
Graffiti, you mean traditional graffiti?
Letters, letters. They can, you know, they will.
Letters, Maddie, letters.
No,
letters.
Just, I never heard trad graffiti.
I know, but the way you said it was, yeah, letters.
I get
fucking
it.
Letters.
I get it instantly. I understand, but yeah.
So they do that, but they also have their own world.
They're more known for their characters. They're more known for their characters,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I think it's because that's what they became known for exactly. But this is one of theirs. They had a full retrospective of their career about 2 years ago in Sao Paulo, and I went out for it. It was actually at the end of COVID, so it was, for me, it was quite an interesting thing. I was in Rio. I went down to Sao Paulo just to see it. I went to see their exhibition, and in the mornings, I went 2 days in a row to see their exhibition because there was so much to see. And then in the mornings, I went round their neighborhood, which is called Cambuci in Sao Paulo. And this photo is taken in rush hour traffic in the morning. So it's about 7 a.m. You can see cars still have their lights on. And there was a lot of homeless people sleeping in front of the picture. And the picture, the writing in Portuguese says, there are many people who living on the street who are going hungry. And I just thought we caught it all up. There's the people sleeping. There's a dog. And what was cool about what the guy you can see in the photo, he woke up just when I was taking the photo and I gave him 10 reals, you know, I gave him a fiver basically, which I thought was fair for letting me take his photo and the photo of the Gemius work. And I think that sort of sums them up. Like, while they were having this massive retrospective in a gallery that I went to and I paid to, and it was in one of South America's most prestigious art galleries, at the same time, going to learn about their work took me down into the streets and underground and under these flyovers and whatnot, and learning about seeing Sao Paulo in the raw as well, which was what I did when I took that photo. So I like that a lot. They're great guys. Like, I've been lucky enough to meet them over the years. They're good guys. They're real B-boys.
Yeah.
At the essence, you know. Breakers, poppers, they do music, they do art, they do all sorts of things. They're like creative dynamos.
And similar to what we were talking about, the French earlier, like, these guys were very proud. Like, they weren't trying to emulate Americans. They weren't trying to emulate the Europeans. Yeah. They were very Brazilian, and they were, you know, represented where they were from completely, and they developed this unique style that has been emulated since. No, but they've been copied by a lot of people.
What I'm saying,
you know, or influenced a lot of people, you know, and I love what Os Gemios did, and I would always be a gift when I was walking around Rio at the time when I was there, and I, because I never made it to Sao Paulo, I really wanted to go out there, but I never made it there. And when you'd come across an Os Gemios character. Usually, I rarely saw letters from them, to be honest. An occasional thing here and there, but most of the time you'd see a character placed in a way with a message behind it, or even if there wasn't writing, the character itself was either of a favela dude, or, you know what I mean, like, or a homeless guy or something, you know, something conscious about what was going on in that part of town, you know, which made it even more special, you know? And one thing, Damo, not to go too deep into it, but what I was told about the differences between Rio and Sao Paulo, which are two of the biggest cities in Brazil. Brazil's a huge fucking country. Yeah. But
they're the two biggest. They're two of the biggest cities in Latin America. But they're mega cities. They're like 15 million.
I think Sao Paulo itself is one of the biggest cities in the world, I think.
It's in the top biggest five, urban. Like 20 million, I think, altogether. Because it just spreads so much,
But one of the things I heard from people about the differences between the two was, in Rio, everyone wears Havaianas. Everyone wears flip-flops. It's a beach town. Everyone's in flip-flops. If you're not wearing Havaianas, you're instantly a gringo. Everyone knows you're from out of town. You know what I mean? It's that fucking deep. But in Sao Paulo, everyone wears trainers. You know, and I heard that was one of the big distinctions between the two, like, you know, on a face level, you know.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, fair enough. Sao Paulo is colder it's that sort of thing. Yeah. Sao Paulo people wear more clothes, so I reckon that was probably the guys from Rio who told you that, because they're but to be fair, I always wore trainers in Rio because, like, you have to get up and down hills and, like, you can't do it and you have Ionas. But yeah, true. It's true. It's like, but I think what they're saying is like Rio more relaxed, Sao Paulo a bit more European, a bit more people wearing clothes, because it can get colder in winter and stuff. Yeah, and a bit more, you know, people in Rio,
place
like,
where the beach is.
And another thing,
exactly, no beaches, no beaches.
Yeah, and another thing as well was in Rio, a lot of it was live music. You know, you'd go into any bar. Yeah. You could even walk in with an instrument yourself and just go give them a nod, and they'd give you a nod, and you could join them. Yeah. Like, it would happen all the fucking time. But me coming from London, I love a good DJ. You know what I'm saying? And so there was once a week there was a drum and bass night in Rio, or there was another thing that you could see. Whereas I heard in Sao Paulo, it's a much more of a club scene out there as well.
Yeah, like, you know. I think that's fair enough to say, Sao Paulo's a bit more European folk-oriented, but clubby. They have DJ Nuts is from Sao Paulo. He's quite a famous.
D's Nuts!
What about what's his name? Marky and Patif, were they from?
Marky and Patif, who were from Sao Paulo, like suburbs of Sao Paulo,
Incredible.
And they were the
how comes you never got down there, Maddie?
Just... I don't know. To be honest,
you were too knackered from your professional dancing misses.
Now, I was actually
you could move.
I was an English teacher, so I had lessons from Monday to Friday. So I had the weekends, and I did travel a bit out of Rio. I went to the south, to that peninsula. What's it called, Damo? Where all the rich people go and chill for the weekend.
In the south of Rio. Like Paraty or Ilha Grande, the island.
Ilha Grande.
Ilha Grande is amazing, where there's no cars.
Incredible. And all those places, but I wanted to make it to Sao Paulo. I knew a writer, Echo, who we wrote with several times in Rio, who was from Sao Paulo. He kept saying, come out to Sao Paulo. I wanted to go there and paint. And who's that writer who used to do all the cockroach characters? Binho,
that's right. Binho's from Sao Paulo, yeah.
Yeah, and I painted with him in Rio, and he was like, come to Sao Paulo, and I just never fucking made it. It's only a six-hour bus ride,
but...
Yeah, but a drive, if you drove it, I heard... Yeah,
four hours with someone from Rio driving, because they drive too fast.
Because they drive like nuts.
And if you're lucky, you'll get there. If you're not, you will wake up in A&E.
Bruv, the driving out there was the
Latin
buses.
America.
Remember driving in the buses in Rio? Like, you had to hold on for your life.
Yeah,
man.
They drive the bus like a motorbike.
Basically. Yeah, literally. Did you send another picture or no?
Yes.
Let's get into this one, man.
Look at this picture, bruv. Because this is the book. It says it's a triangle sidings. And then I thought I would talk about the photo. Talk about and then I thought, fucking hell. There's a lot of people in like Nottingham or whatever.
Hmm.
They don't know what triangle siding is. They don't know what G is.
I don't know either.
Look how battered the train is, bro. Look at the amount of stainage.
Tags on top of tags, on top of stainers, on top of stainers, on top of tags.
That's
good.
That's 1990, isn't it? It's a good.
I can't see. There's nothing you can see about G in there. Or maybe...
Does that say Dama? That says Dama on the train, the black tag.
That says Dama, baby. That's a black. That's a beautiful little Dama reach there.
Amazing.
I have no comments.
What a place. That's a place of like London history. But there's a bunch of yards in London. There's loads. Everyone knows them. Everyone knows different things about them, different stories, different backgrounds. But G... is like a West London central underground, and it's underneath the city. It's just triple six. It's called Triangle Sidings. It goes between Gloucester Road and High Street Ken, or Gloucester Road and Earl's Court. Mm. And it is constantly like the pinnacle of all fucking graph in there. The atmosphere in there, just shit, it's just remarkable. And that's why it's like everyone loves it. And that train in there, man, fucking hell.
What memories you got of that then, Damo, man? Let's finish on this, by the way, because... Yeah,
what reaches did you see in there?
Oh.
That made you think, because, you know, some of those reaches in G, you're like, holy shit.
This was a Sunday afternoon, and we'd actually gone to try and find Chiswick Works. I don't know if you know Chiswick Works.
Of course,
That's the love Chizzy
That's
Works.
The local spot, man. Yeah. We know that.
That was the only one I had balls to go to when I was like 13, 12.
But we couldn't find Chiswick Works. We couldn't find it. And this was a bit, me and Cal, we were a bit like that. We're not very well planned.
Yeah, but you're also from Grove and you're like, we're not going to no Chiswick Pumpkin Yard to bother the back, do you know what I mean?
So we ended up
in a field.
Exactly. So we couldn't find it. We couldn't find it. And we're like, right, let's go and have a look at G. And we've both been there before. And it was a Sunday afternoon and we went right round it. We took about a long time going round from the different angles. And we actually came through to take, before that photo was taken, what's called the American Way, which are the steps. So we went down the steps. Nice. And you're confronted with that. Yeah, I think it's a magical place. Like, I'm very glad I got to go there.
It's a magical place.
And that's just a little record of that moment, really. And my friend Cal, who's my buddy back then, and is a good
guy. Me, look how old the train is. And yeah. It's, you know what I mean? Those paints with that lead in there that's not fucking coming out for shit. Everyone's reach is still on there.
Is that Cal about to get a reach, yeah? And you took the photo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was dark. There were no lights. It was dead spooky. Like, I don't think we hung around very long. We were like,
It's got those little dim lights and it's underground and it's just fucking beautiful.
Deep.
And then in the 90s, everyone battered it around the actual, on the track sides of it.
Yeah, definitely.
All of those. And there was that little wall underneath that bit. I can't remember who had Fume, I think. Anyway, it was fucking ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
You can still see it if you go through, if anyone wants to have a look. Still there. Man.
Yo.
All the strap hangers drinking their morning cup of coffee and you're looking out the window like that, fucking looking at G as you go through. Oh, there's a train in it! There's a train in it!
Hold on.
I still do it out of habit.
Like, well, yeah, me too.
That was the question.
Your eyes are like that.
I was going to say, Damo, as a ending for this, because we could go on for hours, and maybe we'll get you back for part two. I would love to.
We didn't open half the camera.
Yeah, we barely touched the surface, man, and all my batteries are running out. Well,
thanks for having me. Yeah,
I didn't send the L piece. Make sure you put play. Show the L piece on the video. Edit.
Sure,
I will. On the way out or whatever.
But wait, Damo, I wanted to ask one last question. Yeah. Now, as a dude, now, like you said, you're in Catford. Where are you? Whereabouts in London? You'd have to
Catford.
Be specific.
Mate.
Yeah, okay.
Practically Bromley, southeast.
So what writers have you seen in the last couple of years that you're like, oh man, yo, I've seen them up there about, like, I don't know, because like you said, you still look at
stuff. Look at his B-boy stance. He's like, nobody's silent from the late 80s, son.
Yeah, I'm like, all the character. I'm like, no, Casby, I'm like, you're that guy in the hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thieves character, the 80s bitter right.
These lot know nothing.
Nothing, mate. If it ain't for Casby, mate. Who's good? Well, they're amazing. I tell you what is amazing is that, like, these people who get everywhere. But I'd have to say, 10 Foot's obviously world famous now. And he had tags in my street in Rio. And when I went to Sao Paulo to take those photos of the Gemio stuff, I was like, looked around and was like, 10 Foot had been there already, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. But I think Flash is probably my favourite UK writer.
Okay.
I don't know anything.
Doing a lot at the moment.
But I just think it's such a cool name and like no one ever took it. And I'm like, well done, mate. You took it in 2000 and whatever. He took that and he did it. So I think it's great. I think
he's done it. He's done a lot.
Yeah, I think the new generation are amazing in the quantity and the diversity of places they reach. Because before you could be like, oh, I'll go to a yard on the Little Met. I'll do some track sides. I'll do some insides. And like, that's it. I'm famous or whatever. But now they're like, I don't know, you have to go to Yorkshire and they're like on some back of some bus station or like on some bus in Glasgow. You're like, what?
You're coming down, man.
And the thing about Flash.
Top bus station.
and the thing about Flash as well, he hasn't veered off of that outline that he does. Like, he does it everywhere. He does it well.
Yeah.
And it's clean.
It's hard to do straight letters cleanly. Anyone who's ever tried graph knows it.
I keep trying to tell people fast and clean,
very clean,
exactly.
But I mean the writer fast.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, as well. Yeah, yeah. He's
similar. I think he paints with Flash quite a bit. Yeah. Flash and Fast.
Yeah, and Drax and all them lot. Yeah. You know, they all run in the same circles, man. Yeah. But listen.
And you're all coming on the pod.
Yes, lads.
Arms House to Your Mum's House. The graffiti podcast called Arms House to Your Mum's House.
Party people, well, let me give some love again to my man, Damien Platt. All the links.
Demo.
Shall I link your Instagram and everything below? Or, I mean, I don't know. It's up to you. Instagram, you tell me.
Link the book link.
Yeah, the book link, exactly. You give,
there's
like,
only
you give me
four
whatever
left,
link.
Four left.
So, yo, quickly go nab that up if you want to. We'll have you back, though, in the future, I'm sure, man, because we barely scraped the surface, man. You've been to Naples. We had Berlin stories and more Brazil stories, man. Crazy, yeah?
All right. Well, thanks for having me, guys. And thanks. I like your podcast a lot, and your
it's been a pleasure, comedy stuff
makes me laugh a lot, and you hit the nail on the head very often in a good way.
Bravo.
It's not old school. It's old school. Don't respect the old school.
You've got to have levity to this, because graph and hip hop in general, there's egos and there's people take themselves way too seriously.
Yeah, and male egos, the dreaded male ego. Yeah.
So, but I was hoping we could go out.
Just to make it clear, Arms House batters everything.
It's the best podcast. Keller, I could have come, but I didn't. And you didn't ask me. You didn't ask me, but if you would have, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, but if you had my number, like, you would have blatantly asked me. Do you know
what
I mean?
Didn't have it.
Motherfuckers. Yo, peace. My man, Damo. Big up, my man, theme. Episode 94. Listen, guys, leave a comment below. Let us know what you thought, man. Share this with a friend. You know what I mean? Join the Patreon, man. Hit the like button. What else have people got to do? Fucking, you know what I mean?
Get a tattoo. Get your mother to get a tattoo on the inside of her thigh.
You know what I mean?
Correct. That's a good one.
Peace. Salute.
Arms House to your mum's, to your mum's house, to your mum's, to your mum's house.
Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?